From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code NEWS.
Felt ya. Welcome to the Village Oak Tree. I'm your host, Terrence O'Donnell. Thank you for joining me. Where to start? Seems that every week there's so much going on in the news, especially in the U.S., that I struggle to know where to start. This week, I'm going to take us around the world a little bit to try and not talk about Trump so much. Trump just sucks the oxygen out of the air every time he opens his mouth, which he does a lot of these days. There's a lot more going on than just himself. So gather around, sit you down somewhere comfortable for a bit. I've gathered some news stories and articles around the world that, once again, might surprise you, or at least open your eyes a bit. One of the first things I want to talk about is how easy it is for Trump government employees to get access to and sell our personal information held in the custody of the DOD and the National Archives. Another story that's come out about the upcoming New Jersey governor's race. The main reason I wanted to talk about it is that this should scare every veteran around the country. In this story, we have a Democratic challenger for the New Jersey governor's office who found out a couple months ago that her Republican opponent sent one of his goons down to the National Archives in Washington, D.C. and coerced a low-level technician there to hand over Congresswoman Sherrill's personal and military records to be used against her in the governor's race. Whoever gave up those records broke the law, but the data is out there now. We're talking about Social Security number, military records, personal finance records, and so on. She's fighting this and has filed a complaint with the police authorities, but the damage has been done. Why this is important for veterans and serving active duty members is that it shows just how vulnerable we are to these MAGA hardliners if they really want to hurt us. All it takes is one stupid ideological idiot working in an important place that houses our records, and our military and personal information can be sold to the highest bidder or to someone who knows what to say to the right individual to gain access. Maybe telling them how much of a MAGA patriot they are and other silly stuff. All along, knowing that with their lies, they're hanging these people out to dry to be arrested at a later date, sacrificing the ruse for a greater cause and all. We've all heard by now that Trump is now actively prosecuting his enemies before the statute of limitations runs out soon. I don't want to get into that, as that will be a media sensation for weeks to come. The same for the others on Trump's hit list. Let them fight it out in front of a judge. We don't need to know about it until a verdict is rendered. One more thing about Trump that I found in the last few days. I found a Substack article from Kim Klippenstein reporting on Trump signing some more orders. Not executive orders, but national security directives. NSPM-7, signed by Trump late last week, labels pretty much anyone they want as anti-something and can be prosecuted. For example, anti-Christian, anti-American, anti-capitalism, so on. The list is rather long. The bottom line is how important a national security directive is compared to a plain old executive order. This is how they want to go after left-wing terrorism. They want to target pre-crime, such as indicators of violence. I mean, we can infer the obvious things like trying to overthrow the government, but then this list gets crazy. He wants to go after extremism on migration, race, gender. And he wants to go after those who exhibit hostility towards those who hold traditional American views on family values, American views on morality, and views on American religion, which can be inferred as whatever white Protestant Christian religious values are set forth by the Christian nationalists. Those of us, whether we're native-born or non-native-born citizens, this means that if we don't toe the government propaganda line on the cultural values that the current government considers approved by them, we could be prosecuted under this new directive, domestic terrorism directive. For those of us who are not Christians or don't exactly toe the patriotic party line, we may have just become enemies of the state if we dare to speak out against the authorities. For a country that fought a Cold War against the communists for so many years, we're starting to look a lot like our old Soviet nemesis. Russia, for all its faults, allows their people a better standard of living for its citizens than Trump is doing for Americans. Even China, for all its central government restrictions on the press and government dissent, offer a better standard of living for its people now. Even Canada is suffering from being too close to its southern neighbor. I'm not talking about the trade war, but their culture. Canadian culture is now under assault by the lawless Americans. This has been a slow process. Trump started all his antics a few months ago. Now Canada has more shootings in their big cities than they used to. They have more political disharmony than they ever had, and the crime rate is going through the roof compared to past years. Why? Because some Canadians, especially those in Alberta, have long admired the Wild West spirit of their cowboy cousins in the Western states. They admire their seeming independence from the federal government, and they've been chafing at the bit against Ottawa since the pandemic years. Now things are getting worse as their economy is taking hits from the trade war. Not that they had a real robust economy to begin with, but now, because of Trump's tariffs, things are getting worse. I feel bad for them, especially with my personal connections to Canada. One of the stories I found on Medium.com reports about how Canadian landlords are exploiting the severe housing shortage to coerce desperate renters to trade sex for rent. Now, I'm sure that Canada is not the only country suffering from this scourge, but to hear about it like this made it hit home a little more. Seems that unscrupulous landlords are exploiting online want ad platforms such as Craigslist to give out false advertising to swap sex for rent. These platforms know this breaks the law, but no one seems to be enforcing it. So these landlords are taking advantage of this lack of enforcement. Some are getting caught for sure, but so many others are not. And the victims shrugged their shoulders in some cases out of desperation to keep a roof over their heads. That's pretty sad. You know where these landlords get this idea from, right? The Americans, of course. And the worst thing that makes this bad, the worst part about all this is that Canada is suffering from a severe housing shortage, and these people are taking full advantage of that. Another Canadian-American news, we already know from the major U.S. media companies that the farming industry is on the verge of financial collapse with no overseas markets anymore, courtesy of the trade war. Are you starting to see a pattern here? It's not just the export markets collapsing that the farmers have to worry about. It takes a lot of expensive farm equipment to keep a farm going. Tractors, harvesting combines, plows, tillers, planters, so on. Little of which is made in the U.S. anymore. In the story I found in CBC Canada News, even foreign companies that have factories in the U.S. are starting to diversify. One German company has decided to move part of their North American production back to Germany rather than deal with the border restriction tariffs now being posed by Trump and company. They'll keep their American production line open, but move the Canadian equipment line back to Germany and just ship the equipment and parts to Canada. They say it's cheaper for them because of all of Trump's tariffs. So that means less American jobs now and less money for the Americans on top of everything else Trump is doing to gut the American economy. So I told everyone last week, I watch a couple of YouTube financial shows nearly every day. One of them is hosted by a young financial guy from Singapore. His name is Sean Fu, and he posts something nearly every workday and sometimes on the weekends. His latest series has been about the chip trade war between the U.S. and China. Trump has been pushing chip companies around the world to move to the U.S., but they're refusing for the most part. In the case of Taiwan, they have a factory in Arizona, but Trump wants the whole company to move to the U.S., as in abandon everything in Taiwan. There is a Dutch company that the U.S. is trying to pressure to open a factory in the U.S. The same for Japan and South Korea. But with all the tariffs and the high cost of doing business in the U.S. now, very few are making any moves. Those that are, were already here before Trump took over last January. That includes that Hyundai battery factory being built in Georgia. You do know that they started building that factory before Trump took office, right? The Taiwanese chip factory has been in Arizona for quite a while already, but if you listen to Trump run his mouth, you'd think that they just magically appeared when Trump took office back in January. What we need to be paying attention to is the fact that there are very few new factories.
From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code NEWS.
Factories coming to the U.S. right now, despite all the bullying. That means no new jobs for the laid-off workers to get into. With all the latest government layoffs and the possibility of thousands more if the MAGA Republicans allow the government to shut down this week, which they did, so it's a done deal there. The unemployment rolls will swell dramatically, and there is nowhere for them to go to replace these government jobs now. Trump and his inept cabinet members are taking the United States into a bleak future. If we're lucky, a major recession. If not so lucky, a depression that could outstrip the first one from 1930. The one difference this time is that we won't have a dust bowl to contend with like back in the 1930s, but that's small consolation. With FEMA largely gone, and with this Homeland Security head giving out millions in disaster relief to campaign donors in Miami, while people in the Appalachians are still suffering from the loss of their homes and businesses a year later, we're one major climate disaster away from bankrupting the system. I mean, look, when the head of FEMA can't even be reached by mobile phone when people are being killed during an extreme weather event, what can we expect if a Cat 4 or 5 hurricane hits American shores? It's only a matter of time before the U.S. gets hit again from another Andrew or Katrina. With climate warming going on, it's no longer if, but when. But with people like Kristi Noem and David Richardson running the Federal Emergency Response Agency, may the gods have mercy on those in the path of any major disaster in the United States. The recent Central Texas floods that killed over 100 people is just the tip of the iceberg with these two clowns in charge. I want to step outside of the U.S. now and focus our attention to the rest of the world. Not in too much detail, but just a couple of things that you might not hear about from the legacy media, but are actually a big thing. The first one, while it's still fresh on my mind, is this upcoming START nuclear warhead treaty with Russia that Barack Obama signed with Putin back in the day. It's coming up on its expiration date next February, and Putin has offered to extend it by 1 year if Trump agrees to the conditions. The fact that no one in the White House is talking about this says volumes about where this might go. This treaty is allowed to expire, or Trump decides he wants to renegotiate it to his advantage, and Russia says yet, then what happens? Then that opens the nuclear proliferation door back to the weapons wars during the Cold War days. And with the current fiscal condition of the U.S. right now, the United States would lose an arms race with the rest of the world right now. Russia and China are so far to the Americans, it isn't even funny anymore. Everyone has been led to believe that the American Army is so far advanced in their combat training and readiness that they all should be very afraid of the big bad American wolf who will come to their country and huff and puff and blow their house down. It's not so true anymore. I read a story on Quora the other day about that. A few years ago, so the story went, the Americans puffed out their chests and challenged the British Army to come over and engage in war games to show off their fighting prowess and train together. The British wiped the floor with the hapless Yanks, and they left the training grounds early like whipped puppies with their tails between their legs. The British soldiers laughed all the way home. Now, you know, obviously that story never made it to mainstream news, and it's in core, so you take it for what it's worth. But there's got to be a lot of truth to that. As a former American soldier, I firmly believe that to be a true story, or, you know, mostly so. I've worked with the British military years ago, and I'm not talking about their much vaunted SAS, although I work with some of them also, but just the rank and file regular British military. And their discipline and training far outstrips the Yanks by leagues. This also applies to nearly all the other NATO troops from Europe. The only advantage the Yanks have is how many of them there are compared to other countries' militaries, which those numbers are falling steadily in the U.S. as more and more young people are waking up to what the U.S. military is all about and the horrible working and living conditions being reported on social media by serving members. These people are not enlisting like they once were anymore, although Trump reported back in January that recruitment numbers were up because he won the election. That's still tracking due to more incentives being offered to new recruits to join up. More pay, better programs for prepping young people with body fat and physical standards, and enlistment bonuses. The issue is retention. As the old saying goes, is that any military is only as good as its NCOs. Without NCOs, there is only just soldiers and officers. This was what the old Soviet military was like back in the day. Just junior officers working in sergeant's roles and conscripted junior enlisted. The U.S. military is heading in that direction, if not already there. I've seen this before in past years. Whenever the economy started to go south, enlistments always went up. People get desperate for jobs and they try to enlist. Now, with these prep programs, more of them can get in now. The question I have, and no one is asking, once they get in, how are the discipline issues? I remember back in the 20th century when I served for nearly 25 years, whenever the DOD dropped the standards to get more recruits, the behavior issues also ramped up. In my time, it was the drug problems for the most part. But now, I'm sure it's something else along with drugs. I wonder how many American Army disciplinary boards and Navy captain's mess are being held on a regular basis as compared to previous years. How many more court martials are being held these days? According to sources, drugs are still the primary offense, but there's a lack of enforcing standards by the NCOs these days, suggesting that morale and a sense of duty is failing from the top down. Something I also remember from my last days of active duty, when I was still in, it was more about politics and how to make the next stripe than taking care of the troops and enforcing training standards to keep soldiers alive. I retired over 20 years ago, and I see that things haven't changed much. If anything, it's worse now, according to some of the scuttlebutt I've heard. This is why the Europeans can wipe the floors with the majority of the regular American troops. And this is probably why the Americans have been relying so heavily on their special operations troops since Rumsfeld started the trend right after 9/11. These poor Spec Ops soldiers have suffered massively from combat fatigue for several years now. Quite a few have lost their lives due to the extreme battle fatigue from multiple deployments that the Pentagon didn't trust their regular troops to handle. This is what the U.S. government doesn't want anyone to know. And Trump called the Russian and Chinese armies paper tigers. People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, as the old saying goes. I have no doubt that the American military is capable. I'm just saying that they're not as good as the propaganda is saying they are. Their equipment is now behind the technology curve and continually breaking down for long periods due to lack of replacement parts and new stuff. The U.S. Navy is especially prone to this and has been for decades. Look at the disaster the Zumwalt cruisers turned out to be. The Army also suffers from a lot of broken and out-of-date equipment that could get soldiers killed these days if they went up against the Russians and especially the Chinese. The U.S. has no hope of ever defeating the Chinese, given the better equipment and battlefield technologies they now possess. They have more soldiers than the U.S. could ever field now, which is why the U.S. is working on other methods to take down the Chinese before a shooting war breaks out that the Americans can't possibly win, which isn't working out very well either for the Americans. Trump's trade war has backfired spectacularly. His attempts to surround China in the Pacific is having limited success, such as the missile emplacements in various countries like the Philippines and others. The AUKUS deal for the American nuclear submarines to be built in the U.S. and sold to the Australians looks like it's still a go from reporting yesterday, but the Aussies are still worried because no one in the world trusts Trump anymore. The other news stories I'm tracking is the saga of the civilian relief flotilla headed for Gaza. I've been reading the occasional posts in medium.com from one of the activists on board, and they're scared. The famous Greta Thunberg has stepped down from any leadership roles at this point. There have been several attacks by drones in order to get them to back out of fear. At this point in this journey, they have picked up a couple of NATO escorts from Italy and Spain to try and fend off the Israelis. I'm watching the news from the Middle East to see if there are any new updates every day now. I hope for their sakes that the military escorts will deter the Israelis from doing anything stupid. But as we all know, that never stopped them before. As many little boats as there are, I have no wish to read in any of the news that some of them have been sunk or boarded. I hope the presence of the NATO ships will be enough to deter the IDF. We'll have to wait and see what happens once they get close to the coast of Gaza. Israel is already promising to board all the boats and arrest all the crews and eventually deport all of them to also impound and sink, you know, whatever they can of those boats. And
whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.
According to updates this morning, the Israelis, the NATO escorts have peeled off and left this flotilla all to themselves. The Israelis are out there watching them. Some of these boats have slipped through the initial vanguard of Israeli small boats and the frigate that's out there watching them. But as I said, Israeli Navy is already gearing up to wrap these people up. My concern is, are any of these people going to end up dead or drowned or in prison indefinitely? Especially Greta Thunberg, since she's already been arrested and deported once before. If they catch her again, they may not be so nice to her this time. According to reports I've been reading from RT News Russia lately, Putin is not changing the tactics on the Ukrainian battlefield, but Trump's latest threat to let Ukraine fire Tomahawk cruise missiles deep into Russia has heightened tensions in Russia, and Foreign Minister Lavrov is reporting that this would be a red line for them. I haven't heard yet what they would do about those missiles, but I'm sure it won't be good. Minister Lavrov states that it won't change anything on the current battlefield, and he hopes Trump won't authorize them. We'll see. Back in the U.S., a lot was made about the purpose of this special meeting between the Secretary of War, Hegseth, and Trump, and all these American general staff from across the world at the U.S. Marine Base in Quantico, Virginia. It's been reported that over 800 generals and admirals were ordered to report, along with their chiefs of staff and aides, at great expense, mind you. Every one of these officers coming from all over the world will have their staff filling out travel and accommodation requests for this trip, for which the taxpayers will foot the bill for. And they wonder why the federal budget can't be balanced. Also, Trump and Hegseth could put on a dog and pony show in order to let all these people know who's boss. According to the reports, all Hegseth did was rail about the military standards, military bearing, and his famous warrior ethos. Trump just glad-handed and praised everyone for doing a great job. So for tens of thousands of dollars in travel money, probably to be billed to the Pentagon, these career soldiers were subjected to what amounted to a political pep talk. If you read between the lines, as most of these generals and admirals are doing right now, after this embarrassing show, they're asking themselves, what WTF? We know what that means. They're also scratching their heads and asking behind closed doors, and most likely in person amongst their peers, was this some kind of a loyalty test? Were they deemed loyal enough to Trump just because they showed up? As an old soldier who deployed many times to authoritarian countries in the past, this is right out of the Banana Republic playbook. This was the first loyalty test for all these members of the general staff. They're not stupid. You can bet that they'll be talking about this among themselves over the coming days and weeks, asking each other the same thing. They'll be making individual decisions, some based on their personal political beliefs, but mostly what will the cost be to the troops under their commands if they follow Trump rather than the Constitution. Remember, soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines swear an oath to defend the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, in accordance with the Constitution, and to follow the orders of those appointed above them in the chain of command, Trump being the ultimate authority as the commander-in-chief. That in itself should scare all of us. Trump is the ultimate military authority of the U.S. military. There's an article of military law in the UCMJ, Article 92, that dictates what the law is for disobeying a lawful order from those non-commissioned officers and officers appointed above them in the chain of command. There is mention of what happens if a military member refuses to obey an unlawful order. It's not as simple as the civilian news is trying to make us believe. If any member of the military should disobey an order, no matter what that order is, they can be brought up on charges in accordance with Article 92 of the UCMJ. Then it's up to the service member or his defense to prove to a military court that the order was unlawful. This rarely happens, as in it's almost unheard of for a blatantly unlawful order to be given to a subordinate that is then refused. Don't get me wrong. NCOs and officers have been brought up in charges for ordering soldiers and sailors into situations that brought great harm or even wiping out whole units out of stupidity. But they were not charged under Article 92. Lots of service members have been brought up in charges of disobeying orders under Article 92 through the years, but rarely in the history of the UCMJ has it been for disobeying what was deemed by the service member to be an unlawful order at the time the order was given. As I offer you all a bit of military custom as it pertains to this mega meeting of all these general staff members at Quantico, Virginia on Tuesday, this means that these generals and admirals will obey the commands coming from the ranking officers above them and ultimately the commander-in-chief, unless they deem Trump and Hegseth a serious enough threat to the national defense of the country. This does happen in developing countries around the world from time to time, but I doubt that would happen in the U.S. The generals and admirals will let the suits in Congress sort out things like that while they sit back and wait to find out who the new commander-in-chief is, then reply, "Yes, sir," when commanded. That is how the American military is structured. And if you're a career soldier or sailor, whether you're an NCO or an officer, this is hardwired into your very DNA. After spending nearly 25 years of my adult life in the military as an NCO, I can tell you that this is true. I've been off active duty for over 20 years now, and I'm still hardwired to obey orders from my chain of command. If I received an order right now to report for duty, I would kiss my wife goodbye, pack my kit without question, and perform the duties required of me to the best of my ability while I wear the uniform. That's who we are. And it doesn't matter which country you're serving for, career soldiers are all mostly the same everywhere. I have served with other NATO troops during my career, and although some of their military customs vary due to cultural differences, we all have the same basic attitude. Follow orders as given to us by our superior officers as best as we can, and that's it. As the old saying goes, keep it simple, soldier. We trust that the NCOs and officers will take good care of us until they don't, which rarely happens. But it has, but as I've said, it's rare. Most of the time, issues arise due to lack of experience and field education that come with time. That's why the NCO Corps is so important. Without them, nothing works right. And that is the only thing we, the civilians in the U.S., should worry about some, the lack of discipline from the middle rank NCO Corps of the U.S. military. This is especially true of the less experienced state National Guard units. This is another thing I've experienced with, but that's a story for another time. I would just say that I did a small tour with a 278 Tennessee Army National Guard once upon a time, and for a career active duty soldier, it disgusted me. I transferred as soon as my short contract was up due to my bad experiences with them. I hope they're better trained now, but I don't know, given Tennessee's recent state government history. But as I said, that's a story for another day. as of the date of this podcast here on October 1st, 2025, I don't know what's going to happen with the U.S. military after that huge dog and pony show in Arlington. Only time will tell. After what Trump did to the chiefs of staff back in January, plus firing a couple of female admirals, they're probably wondering if their names are going on a list, which Trump seems to be fond of doing lately. Either way, this whole show will have an effect on their strategies going forward, both for their careers and the command decisions they may have to obey in the near future. Whatever happens, this debacle will have a pronounced effect on military thinking going forward, as these generals and admirals come away with the thought that the hammer may be dropping on them soon in some form or another. That's another thing career soldiers have trouble with, uncertainty. It messes with troop morale, which is already down, according to some reports. When the top brass has trouble hiding their worries and their morale is down, it always filters down through the ranks, all the way down to the lowliest privates eventually. That's not something any general or admiral wants when they're thinking about possibly having to go to war with someone soon. Maybe Venezuela or Colombia or both? That's another thought that was permeating through the news feeds. This new peace deal in Palestine. Will the West have to supply troops for the new governing board if this deal goes through? Will the U.S. and NATO be supplying troops and equipment like the UN peacekeepers to Gaza and West Bank? Inquiring minds want to know. This new 20-point deal apparently doesn't offer much in detail so far. The fact that Trump wants Britain's Tony Blair to be in charge is worrisome. This bloke, like George W. Bush, has a very sordid reputation in the Middle East. Things could get real interesting. That's all I want to give you this week, even though there's so much going on. I think there's quite enough to scratch your heads about for this week, don't you think? That's the thing in this quickly changing world. Unless you want to talk about this stuff every day, it's hard to keep up with it all, and I don't try to with regards to this once-a-week podcast. There are already lots of others in the media who try to make a living out of this broadcasting the ills of the world every day. I don't know where's to be one of them. I have enough other things to do with my time during my week, and I'm stale enough as it is. Let me take my break now, and I'll be back in a couple of minutes to read another chapter of The Priest by Michael Campy. I want to take a couple of minutes to explain how you can support what I'm doing, either through a direct donation, a Substack subscription, or purchasing my book, any of which can be done through my website shown at the bottom of this screen. First, let me say, I don't paywall my work, but I do accept donations of any amount in any currency on my website, and you can sign up for paid subscriptions to my Substack page at www.todomhnill.substack.com if you have the ability to do so. If you're not watching this on Substack, there's a link to this page on my website. My $30 a year or $5 a month subscription rates are as low as Substack will allow, if that helps. If nothing else, like, follow, restack, or sign up for a free subscription and share with anyone you wish to add my voice to the many in the independent media who don't like what's happening around the world. Now let me finish up by showing you this little video about my dystopian fiction story I wrote a couple years ago. It's called Fugitives in a New United States. If this story sounds interesting, go to any major book retailer around the world to order it in any format you like, or purchase a hardcover or paperback version on my website and read it for yourself. Watch this video and decide for yourself if you think this story is starting to become a reality right now.
James had one dream, to save lives. But in a country torn apart by hate and fear, his own life became the ultimate battle. A new government driven by prejudice. A system that left no room for those like him, immigrant, Muslim, and brown-skinned. Forced to abandon his life and live as a fugitive, he fought to survive in a country that saw him as an enemy. Every step brought new risks and unexpected alliances. But in the darkest moments, love found him. together, they discovered that even in a state of despair, hope could still bloom. This is the story of one man's fight for freedom, survival, and love.
Welcome back. So let me pull up Michael Campy's story here, and I will read you the next chapter. And you guys can follow along like always. The Priest, formerly known as Bob, Part 47 by Michael Campy. Okay, so we'll just go then. Dolly looked at the hillbilly Santa and said, "You've been around here for a while. Any ideas on what we might come across?" The whole Central Valley is pretty much a wasteland. When it started getting hot, the first thing on people's minds was south hot, north cold. And they started moving north. At first, it was just the early adopters. And then as things got worse, they started to panic and left in huge groups. The freeways were parking lots for a long time. The people that decided to stay realized too late that it was a bad idea. Most of them died. It easily gets up to 120 degrees for weeks on end in the Central Valley. And as with most of the idiot class, they began to get sick. It may seem callous of me, but I was impressed with the viruses. They had been circulating for a long time before everything went to hell. And after when there was no more doctors and medicines, the little buggers just went crazy. If viruses can be happy, then I guess these guys were happier than a pig in shit. "You guys seem to have done okay," said Stuffy. That's mostly because one of our early decisions was to remove stupid from the equation. We all shared the same ideas on taking precautions, even though the rest of the world abandoned them, and all the people here had the same opinion, so we stayed healthy. Can't imagine what their lives were like. Think about it. The world's coming apart at the seams. Everything you know is collapsing in front of your eyes. Support systems are non-existent, and you're sick and getting sicker. I don't know if any of you caught COVID during the first 5 years, but the people I knew got pretty damn sick. And if you add that to the collapse of industrial civilization, well, that sounds like hell on earth to me. "Have you guys gone out to look around much?" asked Dolly. "Not at all. Once we figured we were safe as we were going to get, we just stayed put. Couldn't see much point in wandering around and risking our position. So, no big dream of becoming a king and conquering the world?" Santa got a good laugh at that. "This is our pod. We live in a bubble of sorts. No new people in. You're the first visitors we've had in a long time. And as much as I enjoyed having you around, I won't be sorry to see you leave. I guess you could say we're kind of like the Amish of the apocalypse. That has a ring to it. Has anyone tried to horn in on your action?" "Early on, a few of the idiot class thought they might see if they could take what we have, but we disavowed them of that notion right quick. One of our group activities is spending a fair amount of time learning how to incapacitate unfriendlies. We decided that there's no sense in spending time learning how to just defend ourselves, and most of our training is orientated toward quick kills. We didn't want to hurt people, but if it's them or us, then we wanted to make sure it was them. We went to great lengths to make this place a community, and we all felt strongly about defending that. After a while, they just stopped coming. Guess the word got out that you should leave the hippies alone, or maybe they died off. I don't know for sure, but no one bothers us anymore. I think the people who are chasing us might be a different breed. They're a violent bunch, and according to Poor here, who was their prisoner for a while, they don't put much in store respecting other people's rights. When you guys rolled in, we've been watching you for about 5 miles. We know these woods like we're born here, and we have a fairly elaborate set of traps and early warning devices set up around the perimeter. It's set up to provide a series of escalating challenges to anyone trying to make their way in. If there were 10 people trying to move in on us, 9 of them would be dead, or very nearly dead before they got through the first 200 meters, and the one who was left would start wishing he was dead before long. Dolly looked at the man with undisguised admiration. I find myself wishing I had discovered you before now. You're the group I always hoped that I could be a part of. Aw, shucks, said Santa. The rest of us were staring at Dolly as if to ask, what are we, chopped liver? Like he could read our thoughts, he turned and said, no, you're not chopped liver. How did you know what we were thinking? How did you know we were thinking that, I asked. What else would you be thinking? We decided to leave as soon as it got dark. It was about a 3 to 4 day walk to Sacramento, and I was kind of excited to see what had happened. The idea of that once bustling city being a ghost town was a little unsettling. I knew that people had been behaving badly, and I knew they'd suffer because of it, but I had no idea about the extent to which stupidity had turned out to be as deadly as any virus or cataclysmic event. It was impressive, really. I didn't consider myself to be all that smart, but maybe a little smarter than the average, but my God, a whole country wiped out by a plague of stupid was pretty epic. So that's all I've got for you here. I appreciate everybody coming in, listening to this a little bit. I went a little bit over long today, but there's just so much going on. Gorama Agat, thank you for watching or listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll return again to listen to the news and stories I find every week. To say goodbye this week, I wish to leave you with this quote. Struggle for freedom is not for the faint of heart, but for those who are willing to sacrifice everything for a cause greater than themselves. Shlongo Foyle.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's ka'chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.